As we discussed earlier, Legal Shield is unique in so many wonderful ways. And one of those ways is, again, is the fact that we get paid dollars on pennies. For example, depending on what level you are in the compensation plan right now, you'll get paid anywhere from 2 to 6 times more money in commissions than you collect in revenues. For example, when you get to the platinum position, if you enroll a new member who buys a membership at $39.85 a month, for example, you're going to collect $39.85 plus a one-time $10 enrollment fee, which would bring you to $49.85, but let's just call it $50. So you collect $50 in that transaction, and at the platinum position, you'll get paid more than $300 in commissions the next business day. Now, we call this advanced commissions. Instead of getting paid each month as the member makes their payment for their membership, you can get paid 12 months in advance. Now, because we get paid in advance, all of our compensation is going to be tied to what we call retention. Simply stated, retention is the number of memberships you enroll versus the number of memberships that stay on the books over the course of a year. The more members you enroll and the more of them that stay on the books and continue making their monthly membership payments, the higher your retention and the more money you're going to make. When you enroll a new member, you get a 12-month advance commission, but if that member doesn't stay on the books, you'll experience what we call a commission adjustment, which just means that whatever you got paid in that advance that you didn't actually earn because your member canceled before the 12 months, that amount will be adjusted from a future commission. So it really doesn't do you any good to enroll a member if you know that they're going to cancel in a month or 2 or 3 or 4 months. Just don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not good for you long-term or short-term, and it's not good for the company. It's not good for anybody. I've had people ask me if they could buy the service for a month or two and then cancel it. And I tell them, yeah, you can, but not for me. I tell them that I'm looking for people who see the real value in having our membership long term. Again, if you focus on writing good business, you're going to earn more money in commissions, more overrides, your residuals or renewals will be larger, and you'll be entitled to some exciting bonus income and incentives. We have an incentive program called the Performance Club, and all you have to do to be in the Performance Club is earn 5 points in a calendar month. You get 1 point for each membership you enroll, and you get 2 points for each person you recruit. Get 5 points every month for a year, and you qualify for an additional $300 a month in a car bonus. Now, that's on top of all the other income that you've already earned, but you've got to have a retention above 75% to get this additional bonus. And for those of you who would like to purchase a qualified BMW, you can trade your $300 a month car bonus in for a $500 a month BMW bonus. Think about that. That is a $6,000 a year bonus that you can earn just for doing what you're probably going to do anyway. But again, it only pays out to associates who are writing good quality business. In addition, each year, Legal Shield sends several hundred Performance Club qualified associates on exotic vacations around the world. We've been to Hawaii, Cancun, Punta Cana, the Bahamas, Jamaica. Many of these trips have been all expenses paid for the associate and their spouse or whoever it is that they want to bring. And again, these trips are reserved only for associates who have good retention. In other words, they're writing good business. So now the million-dollar question is, how do you make sure that you have good retention so that you can make more money in personal commissions, more overrides, bigger residuals, and additional bonus money and perks? Well, I've got a few pointers for you, actually 11, that will help you write good business and keep that business on the books. Let's go over them quickly. Number one, use the membership yourself. We've talked about that, but as our founder, Mr. Harlan C. Stonecipher, always said, the most important sale you're ever going to make is when you sell yourself. It is so hard to share a membership that you have no experience with or any passion for. And using the membership will give you the experience, the testimonials, and the passion that you need to write good quality business that stays on the books for a long time. We like to say business that stays is business that pays. Number two, use bank accounts rather than credit cards. When you sign up a new member, ask them for their checking or savings account rather than a credit card, if at all possible. Now, you can always default to a credit card if they don't have their banking info with them, but just know that credit cards expire every 2 or 3 years or so. Bank accounts never expire. When a card expires, all the auto drafts on that card get canceled, including their Legal Shield membership. But if they have it on a bank draft, that's not going to happen. Number three, don't accept prepaid credit cards. Never under any condition accept prepaid credit cards. Retention on memberships purchased with these prepaid credit cards, it's dismal. It's terrible. So if that's their only payment option and they really want to have the membership, request an annual payment instead of a month-to-month payment, because again, it's just really bad business on prepaid credit cards. Number four, encourage your new members to use the membership in their first few days. Most people who cancel their memberships do so because they never used it. They wonder to themselves, why do I keep paying for this every month? I never use it. But if you'll get them to use it and use it quickly, they're going to be much more likely to keep it and love it. A great place for your new member to start using their membership is to get their will done. Bottom line, the people who use the membership keep it, and the people who don't, don't. Now, a really good way to do this is to help your new members make a list of five questions that they'd like to ask the attorneys right away. And you'll want to help them write down those legal issues or those legal questions as a statement, because here's what we find. A lot of times the members will call and say, you know, I want to sue somebody. Well, lawsuits aren't covered 100%, right? They're going to have to come out of pocket to pay for that lawsuit. Well, really, they may not want to sue somebody. That may be something that they want to do down the road. Really, what they want to know is what are my rights? I just want to know what my rights are. And if they have a particular rights that are being violated in this situation, well, then maybe they can negotiate a civil suit if the attorney feels like it's going to be in their best interest. But again, they'll have to come out of pocket for a civil suit. But the advice in so many other areas of the membership are prepaid for. They're covered at no additional fees. And the first on that list is just advice. So again, help them craft their legal issue or questions as statements. For example, I need legal advice on dot, 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 and then just fill in the blank. Maybe I need legal advice on the difference between a trust and a will. I need legal advice on a creditor harassment issue, or I need legal advice on a problem that I'm having with my bank or with the bank that owns my mortgage. So now the attorneys know, okay, this is just a consultation issue. They're going to give your member great advice and not have to worry about getting into whether it's going to be an additional fee. So again, we want to make sure that they craft those questions and concerns in a statement so that they get the right kind of help in the right way. Also, follow up with your members after they receive their welcome kit in about 7 to 10 days. If they're local, in other words, they live close to you or you live close to them, go to their home and go through their kit with them. Or you can do it over the phone, but have them look through the will questionnaire in their kit and make sure that they get their will done as quickly as they can. It's included in the membership and it's going to lock them in as members long term. If they purchased one of our identity theft products, make sure that you help them activate their membership by going to shieldactivate.com. With the legal plan, coverage begins immediately and automatically. They don't have to do anything other than enroll. But with the identity theft plan, your members have to activate their identity theft plan once it's been processed by Legal Shield. They have to activate it to begin credit monitoring and some of the other services. And again, you can do that at shieldactivate.com. Make sure that they add themselves, their spouse or domestic partner, and all of their dependent children at shieldactivate.com. And remember, up to 8 dependents are covered with the identity theft plans at no additional charge. Number 5, don't oversell the membership. You know, if you use the tools, you're never going to oversell the membership because the tools are doing the presentation for you. But sometimes people will actually do a presentation, and that's fine so long as you don't oversell the membership. The membership is one of the most incredible values in North America, just the way it is. We don't need to embellish it or suggest that it does things that it doesn't. This often results in a cancellation and decreased earnings. So it's much better to undersell and overdeliver than it is to oversell and underdeliver. Number 6, leave your new members with something tangible. You don't want to sign your new member up and then send them home with absolutely nothing. You want to make sure that they take home a corporate-approved new membership kit or at least a brochure or a DVD or a CD which talks about our business and our membership so that there's continued follow-up with that new member. Think about it. None of us like to buy something and not have something in our hand, and your members are going to be no different. So again, make sure that you get something tangible into their hand after they've enrolled in our membership. Number 7, send thank you cards or postcards to your new member or associate. You know, postcards, they used to be pretty common and they've become pretty uncommon these days. Just as uncommon as a handwritten letter. So use this to your advantage. Send your new member or your new associate a handwritten postcard thanking them or congratulating them for buying the membership from you and remind them to use their membership. You know, your note might say something fun like, Jack, hey, thanks for buying the membership from me. Congratulations. I know you're going to love it. Make sure that you get your will done yesterday, okay? Little smiley face. Depending on who they are, professional contacts, you may want to make that a little different, but you get the idea. Number 8, offer an annual payment option. You'd be surprised how many people have the money to make an annual membership payment rather than paying for it monthly. As well, there's many people who simply don't like monthly payments. They don't like drafts and they'd rather pay it annually. So when you're doing the paperwork with your new associate or your new member, when you get to the payment section, simply ask, would you prefer to pay monthly or annually? And every now and again, someone's going to say definitely annually, and that's going to help your persistency. Number 9, downsell when needed. In sales and marketing, it's always desirable to upsell your customer. For example, when I was working at Chili's, when the customer ordered nachos, you know, a good server would say, would you like guacamole with that? This is classic upselling. However, in our business, sometimes it makes more sense to downsell our members. You know, if you're signing up a new member or an associate, and you know that they're just barely getting by, or maybe they share that with you, that financially they're just in a tight spot. It wouldn't make sense to sell the $35, $85 plan, or even a plan that's more expensive than that. It would make more sense for you to downsell them to the $29.95 plan, or maybe even the $19.95 legal plan. You know, doing that will often prevent cancellations. When every dollar counts, there's a big difference between $19 and $39. Number 10, no 911 membership sales. You know, there are people out there who they just have a legal emergency. They don't have any money. They don't care about Legal Shield. They don't care about our membership. They don't care about the peace of mind and protection that they can get. They could care less. They're so short-sighted and they're so desperate. All they can see is this looming legal problem that's sitting right in front of them, and they don't have the money for a traditional attorney. You don't want to target this type of business, because here's what we find. Those types of people with that type of mentality, if they use the membership and it works, they're going to cancel it because they got their problem fixed. If they use the membership and it doesn't work, they're going to cancel it because it didn't work. So either way, it's a lose-lose scenario. So you want to stay away from desperate people who don't care about longevity or doing something responsible for their family. They just want a quick fix. And finally, number 11, stay in the desired demographic. Everyone can benefit from our membership. However, some people have proven over time to be better members than others. And we found that couples 25 years or older with children, cars, a mortgage, a job, or a business are the best candidates for buying and keeping our membership. These are typically people who buy other protection plans and insurances like AAA and life insurance and other things like that. These make for excellent long-term members. Now, I'm not saying don't enroll people who don't meet this criteria. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is try your very best to stay in the desired demographic. And just know that that demographic, which I described, has a much better retention rate than the demographic that I didn't describe. All right. Well, that was a lot to go over, but remember, everything that you want, and then some, is contingent upon you writing good business. Your income depends on it, your BMW depends on it, your vacations depend on it, and your retirement renewal residual income depends on it. So one last time, make sure that you write good business and have a long-term mindset.
Okay, so as we close, I want to give you a few training segments. Back in the day, we used to say you use only this tool, and then you do this, and then you do this, and that's the way we do it. And I'm sitting down with my mentor one night whose top income was over $250,000 in a year. Excuse me, in a month. Big difference. In a month. And I said to him, okay, so you've been teaching like tools, you know, tools and events, right? He's like, yeah, tools and events. Okay, I got that. So here's what we teach in our organization. We teach people to do this, and then we teach them to do this, and then we tell them to do this. And he goes, no, man, no. It's third-party tools in a live event. And I go, no, I get that, but like we like to have people, you know, after they do the tool, we like them to do this, and then we like them to do this. That's kind of how, no. If people want to do that, let them do that. But he said, you just teach concepts. Stay away from the precise how-tos, because people will gravitate, you know, different ways, even within the system, and still stay safe. For example, how were you brought into the business? How were you introduced to the business? Went to a meeting. You? First exposure to the... A luncheon. You? Luncheon. A luncheon. You? A website. You?
DVD.
A DVD. You?
This is it.
This is it. Welcome to the business. Wow. All right. So you?
Website.
A website. You?
Website.
You?
Super Saturday.
Y'all see this? So what if we said, no, y'all are all wrong. What we're going to do is we're going to force you to do this and this. No. We use third-party exposures and we get them to a live event. So don't be rigid. Use third-party exposures and get them to a live event. There may be times when you're at the gas station and you have a CD and you just say, hey, have you ever seen this? You got to listen to this. This is incredible. And that person takes it and listens to it. You might have had a DVD in your car, but you chose to use a CD. Why? So that they could listen to it in their car. You might be, you know, with someone at Starbucks and you don't have any kind of a tool, so you take them to the website. Is that okay? Absolutely. So just don't be rigid. Tools and events. All right. Next thing, successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. That was my mantra for years, man. Successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. You know, when we used to hang those signs, I told you about that. We used to hang those signs and we'd hear this, right? And we start running. And I'm saying successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. You know, and I'm like, I will succeed because there's so few people that are going to do this, you know? Now, that's taking it to the extremes. But successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. Is the 10 core commitments easy to do?
Yes.
But most people don't do it. Why? Because it's easy not to. What's easy to do is also easy not to do. Successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do, and they do it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. All right, finally, your strengths are your weaknesses. Whatever you're good at will probably become your weakness in this business. Our business, we have such a strength compared to all these other network marketing companies, because all of them, lotions, potions, cookware, cream, candles, jewelry, now they even have bedroom wear, they have all that stuff, right? In network marketing, direct sales companies. Where can you get all of that stuff?
Walmart.
Yeah, you can get it everywhere. You can get it everywhere. And so your competitors are everywhere. In our business, we have no real competition. We have no real competition. That is our strength. It's also our weakness. Our strength is we have a real product. Unlike all these other companies that has, for many of them, some of them are really good companies. Some of them are nothing more or less than an excuse to launder money amongst friends. That's really what a lot of those are. This is a real business, a real viable business, but our strength becomes our weakness. What do I mean? I'll give it to you in story form. I was sitting with William E. Bailey, one of the first founders of a network marketing company on planet Earth. He had earned almost $1 billion in 12 years, excuse me, almost $1 billion annually 12 years after he started his business. They had one product, you know what it was? Liquid soap. And in 12 years, he's doing $74 million a month in sales in multiple countries. And I'm at his house one night and it's late. And I'm laughing because he's telling me this story. And he's got pictures of him kissing the ring at the Pope at the Vatican. And he's got pictures of his yacht and his jet and all this stuff of years gone by. And I'm like, I just can't believe it. And you did it with soap. It was a $3 soap. $3 bottle of soap. I can't believe it. You know, you guys were selling soap. And he pounded. No, 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 young Christopher. We were not selling soap. We were selling hope and freedom and dreams and opportunity. And this is what he said. That's your problem. He said, your challenge with Legal Shield is unlike a lot of these bozos out there. You have a real product. And that's your strength, but it's also your weakness. Because you're so busy selling products that you don't have time to sell the dream. People, how many people are praying to God tonight, right now for an incredible legal plan? Zero. How many people are praying for more money? Millions. And that's what he said. He goes, Chris, people are going to buy your product because it's awesome. But you know what they really want? They want freedom. They want to quit their job. They want to bring their spouse home from their job. They want to travel the world. They want to send their kids to college. That's what people want. In the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he says, speak in terms of other people's interests. People are interested in their house and their cars and their bills and their freedom. Aren't they? And so this is what he told me. He goes, Chris, focus on the dream. Focus on liberating people. The product, you're going to find people that come along that want to go out and sell, 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 sell. But he said, you, if you want to be a giant in this profession, you stay focused on recruiting and the 10 core commitments and bringing them in and get them plugged in. And you look for your core and they'll find their core. And as you do that, in that big net will be people that are selling the product, you know, by the thousands. Everybody got that? So your strength is your weakness. We have this incredible product and it actually pays money. And there's, and I'm not saying don't market the product. It's amazing. Do it. But don't lose focus of what people really want. People want freedom. Yes or no?
Yes.
Don't want what you don't want. Guy says to me, I've been in the business for 6 weeks. Everybody I've talked to has said no. I said, well, how many have you talked to? I don't know, 7 or 8. Yeah, that was my response, but I didn't let on, right? I wanted to laugh. Because is he doing the 10 core?
No.
No? Is he doing his 2-a-day? No. 2-a-day times 6 weeks? That's a lot more than 7, isn't it? Got it? So I said, and there was a lot of coaching that needed to be done, but I just said, so if they all said yes, you'd be happier? He said, yeah. And I said, you'd also be out of business. Huh? Yeah. If everybody said yes to Legal Shield, why do we need you? And why do we need me? If everybody said yes, this thing would have been done a long time ago. Would y'all agree with that?
Right.
If everybody says yes. So that's what I'm saying. Don't want what you don't want. The reason we have an opportunity here is because some people don't get it. And it's people like me and the people in the front row and some of y'all out there. We don't care if they get it or not. We're going to find the ones that will. And that's what makes this an opportunity. Don't wish it were easy. Wish you were better. That's what Jim Rohn said. Don't wish it were easier. Wish you were better. Personal development. Get out in the marketplace and start getting the tools out. Get better, get better, get better. That brings my next point. Ratios, batting average. You get up to bat, right? You get up to bat 10 times. You get three, you're on base 3 times out of 10. What's your batting average? 300. How much money are you making in the bigs if you're doing 300? Millions of dollars a year. Millions of dollars a year, and you're out 7 times out of 10. So here's what we find in the business. You hand out 10 tools, you get one. You hand out 10 tools, you get one. You hand out 10 tools, you get two. What happened? Your ratio's getting better, you're getting better. You're getting better at introducing people to other people. You're getting better at getting them to the live event. You're getting better at helping them get their questions answered by other people on your team, right? So you want to see what your ratios are. You start out, your ratios aren't that good. You end up, your ratios are absolutely fantastic. Protect your business. Protect the system. Do y'all get that? Jim Rohn puts it this way. Nurture like a mother and kill like a father. Our teams need nurturing. But when a snake is in the grass, what do you do with the snake? You got to get rid of it one way or the other. This is in the context of our system. Our system is set. It works. Like we said, product, services, countries, everywhere. Works for everybody all times and all cultures. We know it works. It's been tested, proven. That's not the debate. So here's what's going to happen. You're going to have people come into your organization with what we call fancy pants stuff. They're going to come into your organization with fancy pants stuff. And you have to be disciplined enough to stand guard at the system. I want to give yourself a visual. Here's a big gates, right? Big metal gates. On the backside of the gates, that's our system. It's how we do the business. And you're standing guard, right? You're there to protect the system. And I want to give you a visual. A guy comes into your business or a gal, says, hey, I've made millions of dollars in a different business. I got this. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a big campaign. We're going to send out postcards. I have mailing lists, and we're going to send out postcards. Or we're going to do a $600 magazine article. Or we're going to put up plastic signs. You know what you do? You don't let that in. You do not let that in. You can't let it in because it will poison and pollute your business. So you protect, defend, and promote the system. Everybody got that? So nurture like a mother, kill like a father. Most people that come into our business never have runaway success, and here's why. We call it the cool guy at the country club. You're trying to build your business, and in comes the cool guy at the country club, and you're thinking, oh, I'm a dud, he's a stud, you know, whatever you want to do. And he does it his own way, and because of who he is, the money, the influence, and all that, his stature, he gets his five buddies at the country club to get in with him. So he's got his five. And then them, because of their stature and who they are, they can get their five. But then it stops. Why? Why does it stop? Why doesn't it keep growing and duplicating? Why? Yeah. Is it flowing through the filters? No. Because if it were, what would happen? It would continue to duplicate and duplicate and duplicate. It's just a cool guy with his money and his resources buying, you know, getting a few people to get in, and they do the same thing, but it can't grow away from them. Because it was all about them. And I want, you know, those of you in the room and listening to this, if you're not growing your business big time out of your local market, it's because you're doing something in your local market that is not duplicating. I was told if a bulk of your business isn't out of your state in 2 years, your system is broken. Your system is broken. You're not doing the long distance packages, you're not doing stuff that duplicates and replicates, et cetera, et cetera. This business, everyone, I want to teach you a concept called the slight edge. The slight edge looks like this. Success, a person up here reads a little bit of a book every single day. Reads a little bit of a book. This person down here not reading a book every single day. Is there much difference after a day? Much difference after a week? No. But would you agree with me that after a time, that when you study relationship books for a period of time, or health books, or spiritual books, or money books, or financial books, or network marketing books, or Legal Shield books, right, as you study those every single day consistently, there's something called the bended knee effect, and it shoots up, right? Would you all agree that that would happen? And would you agree that if this person never read, neglected his health, her health, never exercised, never had human connection, that over time their life would dissolve? Would you agree with that? This will be fun for you. Google oldest hamburger in the world. Google it when you leave here today, okay? Oldest hamburger in the world. It's 15 or 20 years old, and it is a McDonald's hamburger. And it looks the same today as it did when it was purchased all those many years ago, okay? Yeah. Oh, is it really? Oh,
he's on my team.
Wow, he's on your team. Congratulations. He has the guy who has the oldest hamburger in the world on his team. So that's very cool, right? So, but Google it. Here's the point. Is it really food? Food is made of organic materials, right? Living stuff. And when living stuff is separated from its living source for a month, 2 months, 3 months, what's supposed to happen? It just goes away. How many of you found a French fry underneath your seat in your car from 10 years ago, right? It's like, man, that looks the same as it did when I got it, you know? Not bad, you know, right? Not. It's like, that's not right. That French fry shouldn't be there anymore. But it's still there because it's not really food, is my opinion. I don't want to end up getting sued, but is my opinion, okay? So let's say you ate a cheeseburger, hamburger from McDonald's every single day, you know, just one day, and someone else didn't. Is there a difference? No, maybe your energy level, but really there's not a big difference, right? You do it 2 days. 2 days, do it. 2 days, don't do it. Much difference? Do it for a week? Starting to feel it? Maybe a month? Y'all ever see the movie Super Size Me? If you haven't seen it, you got to see it. He eats McDonald's, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He's going to do it for 30 days. About halfway in, his doctor says, you're going to die. You have to stop. I'm not going to participate in this. I'm washing my hands. If you don't quit, I'm stepping out of the project. Like, I'm not going to watch you kill yourself. And he's like, no, he's doing a documentary. He's like, I made this commitment. I'm going to do it. He put on, I don't know, 20, 30, 40 pounds in that time, and it took him years to get rid of it. Took him years to get rid of it. He almost died, right? But if you do it one time, one day, it's not going to hurt you. But if we all walked into McDonald's and there's four or five people over there and they take a bite in that hamburger and they all drop dead, would we all eat at McDonald's ever again? Never again, right? But we do. Why? Because one time, two times, five times, 10 times doesn't hurt you. But over time, this is what happens. Success in life is simple disciplines compounded over time. Failure in life is simple. It's just a lack of discipline. It is errors in judgment. Remember I said we're going to talk about errors in judgment? Failure is errors in judgment compounded over time. In life, there's two paths to take. There's the path of responsibility and the path of blame. Failures blame everybody from Obama to their mama. They blame them all. I find it so interesting that no matter who's in the White House, this camp is like, oh, good, Bush is here. You know, he's going to save the day. And then it's like, oh, Clinton's here. Bush was taking us to hell in a handbasket, you know. And oh, Obama's going to save everything. You know what I tell people? I'm like, look, no matter what your political persuasion is, if you need diapers at 3 o'clock in the morning, try to get one of those guys on the phone. In the end, we are responsible. Not the government, Social Security, not our family. We have to step up and step out, find ways to make ourselves better and bring more value to the marketplace. The slight edge is the way we do that. I hand out a CD today and you don't. Any difference? Nope. Tomorrow I do two a day and you don't. Two a day the next day and you don't. Two a day the next day and maybe the other person doesn't. Any difference between us? Do it for a year. Difference? Right? The bended knee effect kicked in. One person goes up, the other person goes down. Same thing. Exercise one day, don't exercise, no difference. Do it over a lifetime, bended knee effect kicks in. Have a healthy life, this person. Have y'all seen people that walk? I mean, I've seen this, and I'm not trying to be critical, but people that aren't that old in diapers with oxygen tanks cruising around town. Now, some of them may have been born with a defect, and I'm not being critical. I'm just trying to point out, you remember, y'all remember Atlas? Y'all remember him? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you look at some of these older people that have taken care of their bodies. I saw a woman recently that was 70 years old that I would have sworn was 40. Now, I know you can do that with a knife these days, but I'm thinking, you know, that it had a lot to do. It had a lot to do with how she lives her life. So the slight edge, if you go to the briefing this week and your associate doesn't, is it going to make a difference? Yes or no? No. But if you do it over time, it will. And that's what we're talking about, the slight edge. Time versus money. Here, when you get in the business, you have to know that you're going to put some time in, you're going to make a little bit of money. But the next year, you're going to put more time in, you're going to make a little bit more money. What happens is there's a point at which they crossed where your time now comes way, way down and your income goes way, 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 way up. There are three phases of this business, and I hope you all get this. The first phase is, this ain't worth it. And I know that's not proper English, but that's phase one, right? There's three different parts of this business. This ain't worth it. It's not worth it. You know, I'm going to all the meetings, I'm doing all my two-a-day, I'm doing stuff, and it's just not working right. It's not worth it, okay? And you're that's danger zone when you're in the it's not worth it. The second category is, you want to get to the second category as quick as you can. This is worth it. You know, I'm not getting rich, but this is worth it. And then the third category, which is the most fun of all, is, and again, not proper English, but ain't nobody worth this much. Right? That's the third one. Ain't nobody worth this much. And isn't that the goal? Wouldn't you love to be earning more money than you knew what to do with? Gosh, what a beautiful thing. And it's not for the money. People say that the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay, and I get that. I get that. The love of money. Not money, but the love of money. And I get that. But there's a fine line between loving money and loving what money can do for your church. Loving what money can do for your spouse. Loving what money can do for your college fund, for your kids. You see this? Money, for money's sake, would probably corrupt your soul. But money to do good with is just good. Lady said to me, Chris, you talk a lot about the money. For me, it's not about the money. I said, what is it for you? She said, for me, all I really care about is getting a new car, remodeling my house, and sending my daughter to college. What does she really want?
Money.
Hey. And is that bad? Is it so terrible to get a new car? Is it so terrible to remodel your house? So terrible to send your daughter to college? No. Guess what? We all have bad habits. It's called food and shelter. We need money. Next thing is treat this like a business. We've said that for years. I sometimes want to change it to say treat it like a job. Because most people never had a business. They don't know how to treat it like a business. But they know how to have a job. And here's the deal. If your job says to you, you show up at the business briefing on Thursday nights at 7 or else you get fired, what would you do? You would never question it. You just show up. And here's what's weird. People will give a boss and a company and a career that they don't even care about the best years of their life, and they do it voluntarily. Nobody has to call you to wake you up. Nobody has to tell you what time to be there. You show up. You show up early. You stay late, and you do it for 40 years. And here we have an opportunity for you to create wealth, and people can't show up at the business briefing for 2 weeks in a row. They can't go to the Super Saturdays. It blows me away. Blows me away. So treat it like a business. This is a business. If you treat it like a hobby, it's going to cost you like a hobby. Think about little remote control cars. How much do those cost? And then a car runs over them. Now you're going to buy another one. That's a hobby. Hobbies cost money, right? One of my hobbies is collecting Apple stuff. Apple iPads, Apple iPods, Apple computers, Apple TVs. Is that making me money, right? I mean, it's costing me a lot of money, right? Hobbies cost money. Treat it like a business, not like a hobby. If you own a McDonald's, where would you be tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock? In the morning. Yeah. If you just opened it and tomorrow's opening day, where would you be? Making biscuits. Making sure the biscuit guy or gal is making the biscuits right. Okay? Your secret weapon to success in this business is personal development. If there were a shortcut, I don't believe in shortcuts, but if there were a shortcut, it would be personal development. It would be making yourself more valuable, more faster than anybody else. I made it a goal in my poverty 14 years ago that I would read more books, listen to more audios, attend more seminars, and go to more Legal Shield events than anyone on my team. And I don't know that anybody has ever outpaced that, outset the pace that I created all those years ago. And if they do, great. I don't want to hold anybody down. It was just my goal to stay out front because I wanted to be a leader. Here's a great definition of leadership. The ability to get people to do what they ordinarily would not have done had you not been there. And if you want to be a leader, a great way to be a leader is to make sure that all of your new people get this audio, that they get this audio so that you don't have to teach them all these concepts and principles and techniques and philosophies. You can just give them the information and let them run. Think about it again. What do you want? That's what we're all here for, is what you want. And now you have the system. Did I answer all your questions? No. How long are you going to be here in the business? At least what? A year? We're committing to that? Don't you think you'll fill in the blanks over the next year? Yeah. I have 4 kids. One of the things that I wanted more than anything in life was to be a father. It was right here, highest on my priority list. Not only did I want to be a father, but I wanted to be a present father. I wanted to be a father who actually fathered. I wanted to be a father who was with my children instead of dropping them off at daycare. And I'm not being critical of that. I saw that in my life. And I just, please, God, help me find a way to not be an absentee father. And one day I'm coming home from school, little kid. We're walking up the highway. That shows you how much our parents loved us. We're walking up the highway after school, little kids. And I said to my brothers, I hope mom's home today because I had a really bad day and I need to talk to my mom. And they're like, you're an idiot. Mom's not home. And I'm like, got my backpack. Yeah, but I hope she is home. I hope she's home today because I'm starting to cry, but I don't want my brothers to see it because I don't want them to make fun of me. But I hope she's home and mom will be home. It's cool, mom will be home. And they're like, you're so stupid. What's what you need your mommy? You know how mean kids are, right? And I'm like, should be quiet, you know, mom will be home because I, you know, mom's should be home. And then I'm like, but if she's not home, dad will be home. They're like, what are you talking about? Dad's never home. Dad's always at work, but one of them will be home. Because in my mind, I'm like, you know, I believe in God and he's good and I'm good and I need my mom and dad to be home because I had a bad day, so they'll be home. That was where I was, like perfect faith. And so I walk home and my parents aren't there. And I'm devastated. And something happened in my heart. I made a decision as a child. I just said, you know what? When my kids have a bad day, I hope I'm home. I hope at least my wife or myself, I hope we're home. And what I want you to know is that desire of mine has come to fruition. I got married, and the day we got married, I told my wife, should you choose, you're retired. And she chose. She retired. Matter of fact, when we were dating, I was saving all my money. I was living in my brother's apartment, sleeping on a rubber mat with his dog, Rusty. And my wife, and I didn't have a car. And my wife thought I was penniless. And one day my brother is talking to my wife and he said, hey, when y'all get married, are you gonna quit your teaching job? She said, no, one of us has to pay the bills. Now I was earning about $15,000 a month at this time, okay? Yeah. So he says, you know, Chris is doing pretty good. He's making a lot of money. She's like, he doesn't have a car. And it's funny. She says, he doesn't have to lie to kick it. Some of y'all know what that means. He doesn't have to lie to kick it, right? In other words, he doesn't have to lie to hang out. I love him. I love him for who he is, right? And he goes, no, seriously, Sky, like, he has a lot of money. And then I come around the corner and it's like, Chris, does she not know? And I go, no, what? And he goes, does she not know you're doing good in Legal Shield? I go, yeah, I've told her. And then she says the same thing. Chris, you don't have to lie to kick it. I love you. We're going to get married anyway. And I said, no, I'm really doing good. She goes, you sleep on a rubber mat. You don't have a bed or a car. True. That is true. But, you know, but. And I just took her over to, you know, the account, and I pulled up the account and showed her one of my accounts, and it had a lot of money in it. And she said, is that your money? And I said, yeah. She goes, yes, I'll marry you. Right? So, and I'm kind of kidding, kind of kidding. She's out front. You can ask her for the true story. So then I give her an opportunity to be free, and she says yes. And she quit her job, and she's been home. We have 4 babies now. Factory's still open. We might have more. Here's the point. I don't know what you want. I don't know most of you. Some of you I know. Many of you I know, actually. But here's what I know. What I wanted was to be a father. That's what I wanted. And I've got this 2-year-old daughter. She's the baby. She's the only girl. She found a place in my heart I didn't know existed. It's incredible. And I get to be home with her. And she hugged my leg about 5 times today. Just because. And I love it. And that's what I want. And that's what I got. And I feel so blessed. And the reason we spent all this time here, and it's late, the reason I've done what I've done, and I know the reason you're doing what you're doing, is because we all want increase. We all want expansion. That is hardwired into our DNA. And I'm telling you, we can do something really, really special here with Legal Shield. The sky is the limit. Whatever those things are that you want, be it time or freedom or all of the above, follow these things, teach these things, protect, defend, promote these things, watch what happens. Thanks for coming out. Give yourself a hand. Good night. God bless.